Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
It's Voltaire on his left foot. Remy Voltaire! SKC in front at home! Danny Rosero's up for it, and Sporting Kansas City double their lead!
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Tommy will strike first. Whoa! Time. Eric Tommy buries it.
Now here's your host, the voice of Sporting, Blake Arney.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. I'm Blake Arney alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. We are so glad you joined us here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. John, Masters Week is over. Scottie Scheffler is your winner. I know that's not the topic, but I always love starting off with something, and I know you've been watching the Masters. How did you feel about that dominant performance from Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah, I really like him. He's fun to watch. I don't think he's cocky at all, and obviously a great player. And, you know, winning the Masters, super special. But I think that they also were talking about how he's about to have his first child, which is obviously he's having a great month. But I tried to emulate his play on Sunday. I got out and played Iron Horse. And if you've ever played that course, it's very difficult, and I am not as good as him.
John, I'll tell you what, my memories of Iron Horse is when I was in high school. I played high school golf. I played, you know, varsity. My last couple years playing my junior and senior year, we played Iron Horse in a tournament. In my junior year, I think I shot somewhere in the 90s. So it was like one of, for me, at least at the time, someone who played very competitively and looked at playing in college. It was a horrible round for me. My senior year, I can't remember what I shot specifically. I think I shot like 74 or 75, and it was one of my better rounds in college or in high school golf. So it's a course that I've got bad memories, but also great memories at. So, you know, I kind of balance it. Like you said, it's a very tough course.
Well, I'm just going to say I'm nowhere near those numbers. So it was not a great day as it was for Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah, Scottie Scheffler, you talked about it. A pretty good month for him. He's definitely, if you look at how he's performed in all the majors, he's a top level player, just like a player that came to Kansas City not too long ago, which we'll talk about. But like you said, had his first kid. That's very exciting for him and his wife, and a Sporting Kansas City player in a similar situation, having his third kid in Johnny Russell. It's very exciting, John, to see him welcome his third little girl. I guess it's his second little girl, but his third kid into the world.
Yeah, I mean, big week for him, obviously, as well. Previous week, we shared a birthday, so he's having a good month as well. And obviously, with the Sporting game being at Arrowhead Stadium and just kind of how awesome it was to see everybody there, you know, I think it was pretty special for the captain.
It absolutely was a special day. I'm trying to pull up. I think I remember the name, but I want to get it right, of his little girl. Was it Stevie?
Yeah, it's Stevie. Yep.
Stevie. Little Stevie. Yep. That's a very cute name. Yes. So we congratulate the Russell family and hopefully the older brother, older sister can welcome little Stevie into the world in the way that siblings do. But moving on to that big matchup we were just talking about at Arrowhead Stadium, a historic day. Obviously the result didn't go the way Sporting Kansas City wanted, but I think both you and I, John, have looked past that. We'll talk about it here on the show, but what I think is the overarching view from all of this is that it was a historic day here in Kansas City. Obviously, on the Missouri side is GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium, so it was the biggest soccer match in Missouri history. Yeah. That's a pretty cool record to have. It was just a really, really cool day overall.
Yeah, and not only that, it was the second highest soccer attendance in the world in the past weekend, which for me, I think that's crazy. I mean, only Bayern Munich versus Köln had 75,000. So like that just shows you, I mean, you talk about it all the time, soccer capital of America, like you have one of the top highest attending soccer events in the world last weekend. So very cool for Kansas City. Thank you for everybody who came out. It was special for me to watch, be a part of, and obviously I know it was special for the guy. Daniel Shallery kept talking about how excited he was and how excited he was for the fans as well, who were able to come out and see it in person.
I think that for me is the biggest thing is like, first off, thank you to all the fans, you know, for allowing that event to be as grand as it was. I was very lucky to be a part of it. Like you just said, you were, yeah. You know, we were very fortunate to get to be even just the smallest part of that, which was really, really cool. And I think the biggest thank you to the fans is the fact that this crowd was, it was pro sport in Kansas City. There's a lot of places that Lionel Messi and Inter Miami play where it's a lot, if not all, Inter Miami and Messi fans. Don't get me wrong. There was a lot of, you know, Messi jerseys, a lot of Argentina jerseys, a lot of Messi fans, a lot of Miami fans out there. But for the most part, it felt like a pro sporting Kansas City crowd, which is obviously when you're playing at home what you want. But when you give that up a little bit and you move to a bigger stadium and you allow for some of that more maybe casual fans to have access, which is what we want. Absolutely. We want those casual fans to get to experience that. Maybe not the people who are, you know, already season ticket members. It's really exciting to see that there are that many sporting Kansas City fans, even when Messi's in town, they want to be supporting their hometown team.
Yeah. I think we talked about it the prior week about how there's probably going to be a lot of Messi fans and, you know, Messi jerseys and so forth. But what was really cool was there was Messi fans there for sure. You know, there were some Miami Messi jerseys, but like you mentioned, the majority of the fans were Sporting Kansas City fans. Sure, they might have been Messi fans as well. But, I mean, it was loud. You heard this, you know, Sporting chants, the I Believe chants, you know, cheering for Kansas City. Eric Tommy had a fantastic match, I thought. I mean, he got, you know, Team of the Match Day. And his two goals, personally, I thought his two goals were the best two goals of the night.
Wow. I don't know if I completely agree. You know, looking at that Messi goal, I think that one was better than Tommy's first, but I think Tommy's second was the best goal of the night. I mean, for him to watch that ball go as high as it did, let it come down, hit it first time over, I think it was Julian Gressel in front of that ball who just like couldn't get to it. That thing dipped right over him. It was in off the post. To me, that is goal of the week. But of course, because goal of the week is a poll, Lionel Messi's always going to win that when his goal is up for that. But I think if you take away the names and you allow fans to vote on which goal was the best, in my opinion, I think Eric Tommy's would have won.
Yeah, I agree. But I also, the reason why I liked his first one was, one, it was early and totally swung the momentum for Sporting Kansas City. And two, it was still another kind of dipper to the far post, like totally outstretched goalkeeper. And I liked it as well. Yeah, Messi's shot was great too. He had time and space, left footer, you know, far post, upper V. But I thought overall Tommy just had this presence the entire night for Sporting Kansas City, and I think that he's had a great season so far. I think we talk about him every single week, but he definitely turned up the Jets last weekend.
So I think that's kind of where we can start this, you know, looking at the match as a whole. The way Sporting Kansas City started this match, it felt like they fed off the energy of the crowd. And that's something that Sporting Kansas City has done really well this season, is starting matches and scoring early. You talked about it on the broadcast, scoring early, scoring often. SKC scores early in a lot of their matches. They've scored first in, I can't remember the number specifically, but it feels like most of their matches they've scored first, have not trailed for long in most of their matches, and they've played in a lot of close matches. So I think the biggest positive from the early parts of this game is it's just this team's identity seems to be starting matches strong. We can always talk about the later portions of matches. You know, we'll get there. That's the part that worries us a little bit more. That's the part, at least for me, is more concerning. But in terms of starting matches, Sporting have really shown that's where they exceed, or that's where they succeed.
Yeah, and what I love about that is that's usually not the case. Like when you're talking about teams, it's usually like they start maybe the second half off strong, but they never start the very beginning of the game off strong. And especially in the past, I feel like when I played for Sporting, we never really started off the game strong. We would always finish them well and get great results. But it was like, how do we get these guys going from the first minute? And it's been fun to see, you know, Sporting do that so far. And like you said, I mean, when you score that first goal, it's just, you know, such a dagger to the other team and totally swings that momentum in terms of Sporting's favor. And I also think that's why on the road they've had so much success, because when you score that first goal on the road, I mean, the fans at that away stadium and just the players and stuff just are totally defeated.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, as you talked about there in previous years, ending games well versus starting games well, it's a tough tough battle because you also want to end games well. And some would argue that ending games well is better than starting matches well, because you're able to end the game with more, you know, with more momentum, and you're scoring late, and you're grabbing points that maybe you didn't expect to get. So it's that tough battle of you're being disappointed if you're starting matches and not ending them well, and you're on the opposite side, you're disappointed with the start, but then eventually you become happier with the result if you end the match well. So it's a tough duality for Sporting Kansas City. And right now they're a lot more on the end of being disappointed with results because they're not ending matches quite as well as they would hope. They're dropping points late and those kinds of things. But as we've talked about, starting of matches well is great to see. And this match as a whole, I think you break it down and you say a great start. Miami's goal comes off the back of a beautiful ball from Lionel Messi, and it was a great run. It was a great finish. I don't know that it was like bad defending by any means. Of course, some defenders got caught flat-footed, maybe should have been tracking that run. I think that's the biggest thing is you have to, when Messi picks up the ball, you have to be tracking every run, and that's the disappointing part for that. And then you look at the second goal, you can't give Messi that space. He hits that ball, and it's a fantastic strike. You know, you can't complain with anything Tim Melia did. I heard some rumblings at training that Tim Melia felt like he could have done better with it. I don't think I agree. You know, that is a ball that's going over his hand and dipping the second it gets past his hand. And it ended up about a foot below the bar, but Tim Melia didn't feel like he had any chance at getting at it because of how much it dipped. Mm-hmm. And so that goal, you know, you look at that one and you say, the only way you're stopping that is if you just close down the space, because that's what you need to do when Lionel Messi gets the ball. So there's your two maybe frustrations. And then you go back and you fight back, score another goal. This team has not conceded for long in matches. They've done a very good job of responding quickly, and they do that again. And if that's where the match ends and it's 2-2, I think we're walking away from this with a much more positive perspective, because it's a good result. You went down to a Lionel Messi goal, a fantastic goal, and then you fight back.
Yeah, I think it's a fair result if it ends 2-2, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's a fair assessment. Obviously, I think the frustrating part was giving up the late goal to go down 3-2.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was, you know, eventually the most frustrated, as you said, is you give up that late goal. It's really just because of a couple of mistakes. I don't think it's pinned on anyone. I don't think it's Tim Melia's fault for playing that ball. I don't think it's Jake Davis's fault for the way he handled it. I think it's a combination, because there really wasn't an outlet for Jake Davis as well. So it's a team mistake. You know, it's just poor playing out of the back. But I think what's positive I'm always obviously going to be trying to flip these things positive, and that's my goal, is because this team has a lot of talent and there's a lot of good things that can come from this team, and there's been a lot of good things they have shown. Is today in training, you know, on this Tuesday that we're filming this, Jake Davis was pulled aside prior to training, and Peter Vermees was talking with him, kind of discussing that situation. It wasn't anything bad. It wasn't anything like you need to do this or you didn't do this right. It was more just a teaching situation. And I think those are the moments where a player like Jake Davis, who's still young, still impressionable, is really learning from these moments like this, where maybe he's still learning the position.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's still, in my opinion, super early in the season. And, you know, obviously you want to gain as many points as possible, but a huge learning kind of experience and example for him. And I think that Peter has dealt with mistakes that players have made, or whatever you want to call it, well. And I think that Jake is going to learn from that. He's going to go. I mean, it was a big match, right? Lots of fans against Messi and so forth. So that's going to be in the back of his mind. And when a play like that happens again, he might just kick it long, or he might just kick it out for a throw, and, you know, just not to lose it in a critical area and allow that to happen. But it's just, you know, it's frustrating, because I did think Sporting was the better team on the night. I thought a 2-2 result would have been fair. So I'm almost, I don't know what the word is, like, upset for them, because they definitely deserved at least a result on the night. Overall, when they would get the ball, turn and attack immediately to goal, and you saw almost every single player except for the center backs streaking down the field, I thought that was a good sign, because that's not something we saw in the first three matches. We didn't see as much chance creation as we have in the last few, and to see everybody getting down the field to hopefully try and create a chance and get a goal was a good sign to see.
And I think a player that's integral in all of that is Remy Voltaire. So he wasn't in training on Tuesday. Peter Vermees didn't seem too concerned about his injury. I hope that's the case. I hope it's a very quick return for Remy, because he is a very, very good piece in that midfield. Felipe Hernandez stepped in. Of course, Memo Rodriguez was injured as well. So it was Felipe Hernandez stepping into the match. I think he played his part, and I think that he was, you know, a valuable piece to Sporting Kansas City. But all things considered, I think Sporting Kansas City are hoping, in all senses of the word, that Remy Voltaire isn't gone for too long, because he is such a talented player. So all things considered, Sporting Kansas City drop the 3 points at home. It's a great chance, though, coming up against St. Louis to bounce right back. John, we talked about it off air, but now that we're here on air, Ozzie Cisneros goes out on loan to, I believe it was Carolina Core FC, is where he's going for a season-long loan. And that is the kind of thing that I think for us, we like to see, because it's a player that hadn't really found his way into the starting lineup. He's the kind of player who is a very talented player for Sporting Kansas City, but he's still very, very young. It's just about getting minutes, and it feels like this is going to be a chance for him to get minutes. You were a player who went out on loan, you know, a number of times in your career. I guess kind of talk about what that experience is like and maybe what Ozzie can learn from this.
Yeah, well, I guess one thing to look at there is it's a season-long loan, right? So a few things come to mind with that is one, I believe it opens up an extra roster spot, and two,
it does.
At the same time, you're now going to a team saying, I'm here for the rest of the season. I'm battling day in, day out to help this team win a championship at the end of the day. Sometimes when players go on loan for a week or two here or there, you know, the guys who are already on that team are kind of like, well, he's not really invested. He's not going through the ups and downs of the season with us, and he's not battling and grinding, you know, through the bad times and enjoying the good times and having that camaraderie. So I think a season-long loan is awesome for him. Obviously, being a younger player, and looking back on my experiences, I went on loan almost every single season for the most part, just to get minutes as a player. And especially when I was younger, I would go on these season-long loans. And it was just nice to feel a little bit more a part of something special, trying to work your way towards a championship and playing in matches week in and week out. And you just gain so much more experience, not only on the field, but also off the field. You know, you grow up a little bit. And, you know, it's funny, Peter, actually, when I went on my first loan to Orlando City, he brought me in his office. And if anybody's ever seen Good Will Hunting, there's a part there where Matt Damon is sitting on the bench and they're talking about how he's never experienced life, right? Like, he's still so young and he's always been at school and he's never experienced anything outside of kind of his bubble. And so it was kind of cool for me to go on loan down to Orlando, young kid, just experience life as well. So I think it's going to be a great experience. I really am an advocate for the loans, I think, or the two teams, to be honest with you too, because it just gives you minutes. The loan away from the two teams is also kind of special because of what I just said in terms of getting out of your bubble and your comfort zone. But I think it's a good decision, and I think he's going to benefit from it. And I think that Sporting Kansas City is going to need his experience in the future and will benefit from it as well.
Yeah, it'll be good to see him, as you said, get away from home, kind of figure things out in Carolina. He's going to be playing in MLS Next Pro, so at the same level as the twos, like you said. It'll be good experience, I think, for him to really settle in and figure things out. And as we've seen from him in the little minutes we've seen in the Open Cup and just – from what I've seen in training, he's a very talented player. He brings a lot of quickness, a lot his touch, you know, when he's moving on the ball is very good. It'll be good to see him get some minutes there. But that is, I guess the update with Carolina Core, loaning out, not signing, but loaning out Ozzie Cisneros for the rest of the 2024 season. But that is all we've got here on the first segment of the Sporting Kansas City Show. When we come back, we'll have a great conversation with Eric Tommy. And then after that, it'll be a little bit of a preview for the big matchup coming up on Saturday against the rivals, St. Louis City SC. So we'll be right back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hello and welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're watching here, you can see we're now joined by Eric Tommy, Sporting Kansas City midfield winger. You can classify him however you want. He scores bangers, I'll tell you that. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
Doing well. A good day of training today. You guys were out there. It was beautiful, sunny. How was it all?
Was really good. Tough session today. Wednesday is always a little bit more than usually. but was an important day for us. Yeah.
You guys, I guess I've asked a couple of the guys this same question on the show to start it out, just to get to know you a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So when you finish up training, you get out of these doors, what does a normal day in the life of Eric Tommy look like?
I would say I'm going to go home at around 3:30 p.m., straight home to my wife. Sometimes I have some appointments if it's something for my region, something for my body. It depends. Maybe a barber appointment. It depends on the day.
Yeah.
But there's always something in the afternoon, and then dinner, and looking for recovery again.
Good. Taking care of yourself, it sounds like. That's always a good thing to do. And it showed in that big matchup at Arrowhead, Sporting Kansas City, Inter Miami. Obviously, you guys didn't get the result you were searching for, but the atmosphere was incredible. You know, I guess, what was that day like for you?
I mean, yeah, it was a great experience to play in front of 72,000, I think. Big crowd, amazing atmosphere. Against a strong opponent with a lot of quality players. Was a day to remember. Like you said, the result was not what we expected, but at the end was still a great experience for every one of us.
And you, with both of the goals for the home team, the second one of which I think everyone in that stadium was just amazed by how well you hit that ball. It's, you know, it's coming down from so high up. Mm. I guess you are always a player, it seems like, to score great goals. What is it about those moments and those times when you feel so confident that you can just hit that ball and catch it the way you did?
I mean, at the end, you need also a little bit of luck. But I know I have a strong right foot. In that case, I had to take the risk after a corner, and fortunately, it went in. So at the end, I would be more happy if we went home with 3 points.
Yeah, you know, and obviously, you've played in some big atmospheres. You've played in Germany, you know, Bayern Munich, in the Allianz. You've played in Olympiastadion, you know, some of those big stadiums in Germany. Mm-hmm. But how did this kind of stack up to some of those great atmospheres that you've played in Europe?
Yeah, it reminds me of Germany because 72,000, it's a big crowd and it's loud. You can hear it straight after the national anthem. It was like, that's different. You can feel the goosebumps. Like I said, it was great.
Yeah, you don't have the national anthem flyover kind of stuff in Germany, do you?
No.
Was it a, you know, that kind of atmosphere, I guess, as a player, how much can you feed off of the crowd in a match like that?
Yeah, when I scored a 2-2, I had the feeling that the crowd could change the game. You could feel the fans coming and believing in us. That's something we need, that kind of support. At the end, it's all about us, and we couldn't turn around the game.
And so you guys, obviously, in that matchup, played in that 4-2-3-1, a little bit different than the 4-3-3 that we commonly see Sporting Kansas City play in. And for you specifically, that means you're playing a little bit wider, playing out on the wing, having a little bit more freedom. Do you like maybe playing in that kind of position? Or I guess, how does that change the way that you approach matches?
I had a few games on the right-hand side in my past. It's maybe not my favorite position, to be honest, but I think I can play it. And at the end, the coach decides who's going to play. And if I play on the right-hand side, it depends also on the opponent, how I play, if I play more inside, more on the wing, on the line. That game, I was more on the line. So it's always up to the opponent. But at the end, I think I can play every kind of position at that midfield, if it's on the left-hand side or on the right-hand side.
And you guys obviously have had a little bit of some struggles in these home matches, but still plenty of season ahead. What do you guys think you need to do to kind of start to turn that around and you know, return Children's Mercy Park to the fortress that you guys want to create?
I think we have to focus on the good things. First of all, we scored a lot of goals in the last few games. That's a good part of our game. The other part is that we concede too much goals. So that's what we have to look at. Was a part in our training session the last few weeks, and will be a part in the next few weeks because we have to be better in that.
Well, you know, positive thing for you guys, you have a rivalry match coming up to completely flush that and try and put it behind you. You know, what are you looking forward to in playing a match against a team like St. Louis, kind of a new budding rivalry?
Yeah, it's going to be a battle. We know how it is. We played against them, I think, 4 or 5 times last season. It's going to be not easy. Like I said, again, we need the crowd. We need the fans in our home stadium to keep pushing us. And then it's all about us to play our game, to win the battles in the midfield and to create chances, score again. And like I said, we have to defend our goal with everything what we have and to win the game, because we need these 3 points badly.
Yeah, and you've played, obviously, over in Germany in some big rivalry, some derby matches over there. How does this one, I mean, I don't want to say how does it compare, because it's totally different with it being a new team, you know, in St. Louis. But I guess, what do you like about the way this rivalry has kind of come up naturally? You've been a part of all five of those, you know, all five of those matches against St. Louis. Is it enjoyable to have kind of that new rivalry created in Major League Soccer?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, for both clubs, even if it's for St. Louis or for us, if you play at home or away, both is amazing. I prefer to play at home, obviously, but that makes it interesting for everyone who's coming into the stadium and looking at that game or watching these games. I mean, the past showed us that we have incredible matches. We lost some games, but we won also some, so it's going to be interesting, I think.
And then do you feel like these kind of rivalries boost both teams, would you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can feel it on the pitch. It's always spicy, I would say. And that's good. And it makes it more interesting.
So, you know, looking at that matchup ahead, you guys are able to kind of turn things around and get going into the, I guess, later parts, or I guess that this kind of middle part of the year. Peter Vermees always talks about 10 matches in the season is what he starts to base, the idea of what kind of team he has in front of him. In those 10 matches, he learns a lot about the team. You guys are getting close to that first 10 matches of the year. I guess, what have you kind of learned about this team to create a bit of an identity that you guys have?
Our identity is absolutely our mentality. In the locker, starting in the locker, and then, of course, on the field. And another thing is that we need everyone in our team. So you could see we have some injuries, players come in, players are out. So everyone is so important for us. The season is long. And I think that's our things which are important during a season. And there are also some players which are not playing at the moment. So that's quite normal, because we have 11 guys, but everyone is like fighting, keep everything in the training sessions, and try pushing everyone. So that's what we need, and that's a kind of our mentality of our
identity. There you go.
Thank you.
No, so that's some great stuff. We're almost wrapped up here, but not quite yet. We've got some quick fire questions. We always like to wrap up here with some quick fire questions. So I'll give you some questions, maybe some quick answers, but here we go. Welcome into the Compass Minerals Core Questions alongside Eric Tommy. All right, Eric, to start things off, who's the fastest player on Sporting Kansas City?
I think it's Alanis.
He's just rapid?
Yeah, he's so fast.
And then your favorite food?
I would go with pizza.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Would you rather someone text you or call you if they need to get a hold of you?
Both is okay. If I should pick something, I would say call.
You'd rather talk on the phone for a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it depends on... Yeah, in the morning, I cannot talk to anyone because it's training. But if you need something important, just call me.
That's good. And then your favorite soccer player growing up?
Zinedine Zidane.
Oof. Any reason?
Because he was the best player at that time. He was controlling the midfield, the way he moved around, he protected the ball, like his kind of view of the game was incredible at that time.
If you weren't a soccer player, what would you be doing right now?
Maybe I would stick with soccer and be a coach.
Good choice. And then finally, what was your best subject in school?
Sport.
That's good. Thank you so much, Eric, for your time. We really appreciate it. That is Eric Tommy on the Compass Minerals Core Questions. And that is it here for the second segment on the Sports Radio 810 WHB on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Make sure to stay tuned. We'll be right back previewing all things St. Louis City for that big rivalry matchup here on the Sporting Kansas City Show.
You're listening to the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back here on the Sporting Kansas City Show. Myself, Blake Arney, alongside former Sporting Kansas City goalkeeper John Kempen, here on Sports Radio 810 WHB or wherever you get your podcasts. As I always say, if you haven't already, make sure to follow Sporting Kansas City on all socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, wherever you are. You can go ahead and find Sporting Kansas City and not miss out on any of the news, any of the content coming out of Sporting Kansas City. John, a big, big week coming up. A chance for Sporting Kansas City to flush everything that all the frustrations that they've had. It's a rivalry week. And rivalry week means all of that goes out the window and you're focused on the match ahead, Sporting Kansas City against St. Louis City SC at home.
Yeah, I mean, it's a special match, obviously. Fans travel extremely well. I'm excited for that. And I know our fans get up for it, being that it's kind of a cross-town, cross-state rival. But what I'm really excited about is that these two teams are very similar. And they're you know, Sporting's in ninth at the moment. St. Louis is in eighth. Sporting's scored just about the same amount of goals, 1.75 per match versus 1.5. So pretty close there. Sporting's got a little advantage, but St. Louis has got a little bit of a goals conceded advantage at 1.38 and Sporting's at 1.62. So with that also being said, St. Louis has also dropped some points in leading position. So I just feel like overall, these two teams are very similar. They've had similar years. And I think that it's going to be a, you know, kind of a blood match, especially going back to the playoffs last season.
Well, if there's one thing that we've learned from Sporting Kansas City and really from St. Louis City thus far this season, there's going to be goals in these matches, it feels like. Yeah. Both teams have scored goals. Both teams have had moments where they've slipped up defensively. So there's a good chance there's going to be some goals in this. Plus, if you look back at the matchups, obviously, in the playoffs and in the regular season last year, there was a lot of goals between these two teams. So, you know, from the neutral's perspective, I don't think there's too many neutrals watching these matches. But from our perspective, it's always more entertaining to watch matches with goals. And the way Sporting Kansas City's attack has been playing, I guess the way that they've been scoring goals, I'm pretty positive that this team is in a good spot to go out and try and grab 3 points.
I agree. I think it's a great opportunity for Sporting. I just obviously have to point out the fact that the two teams are very similar. And, you know, they also, St. Louis also has goals by committee and assists by committee similar to Sporting. So what I really like to see this match is the same thing that I saw against Inter Miami with, you know, Agata playing up high and Alan Pulido playing underneath a little bit. I really love that partnership. And I think that pretty soon here, as they get one or two more games under their belt together, I just feel like the goals are going to start flying for those two.
Well, I can tell you one thing, and that's that Alan Pulido loves a goal against St. Louis City. He, you know, scored a couple of big ones last year against this team at Children's Mercy Park. He is the kind of player who likes a big game. This is going to be a big game for Sporting Kansas City. But Willie Agata, right in front of him, I think wants to get his name on the score sheet against a rival. We talked to him during the week in training about this matchup, and he just talked extensively about how much he loves the environment. He said it's like he's going to war when he plays in these matchups. Mm-hmm. When he's with his guys, when he's with his home fans, and the away fans are in that corner, I think it feels like that. You know, you're with your guys going to war kind of feeling. And I think he loves playing in situations like that. And he's the kind of guy that when it's a big moment, he can step up and he can score goals as well. So I think Sporting Kansas City are going to probably go back to that partnership, playing, you know, one on top of the other. And hopefully it's that 4-2-3-1 that has worked pretty well going forward. Obviously, we could talk about some of the defensive struggles with that, but I think overall SKC has enjoyed the way that the team has gone forward with that 4-2-3-1 and Alan Pulido playing right in behind Willie Agata. Eric Tommy out on the right has been fantastic. Obviously, we talked about that with the matchup against Miami. I think Daniel Shallowy is yet to get going, but I think It also means that as soon as he does get rolling, which hopefully, as we will say, is hopefully soon, I think there's no reason that he can't get the goals moving and get the assists moving and really, really continue to help out that attack.
I think that's a fair assessment. Like you said, as soon as you can break past that barrier, I think that the goals and the assists will start flowing for him as well. But it's going to be interesting to see. Johnny Russell was on the bench this last match. So is he healthy enough now to start? And where does he fit in there? If Remy Voltaire is out, does Peter just say, I'm going to put my best 11 guys on the field and figure out where they fit in? Or, I mean, it's an interesting topic to bring up because Eric Tommy's obviously been fantastic on that right side while Johnny's been out.
Is Johnny going to have enough sleep being on dad duty?
Yeah, good point. I don't know.
No, I'm sure.
Maybe he
I'm
needs
sure,
another week.
Exactly. No, I'm sure they, I'm sure they monitor all that closely, and Johnny tries to do his best to both be on dad duty, but also get enough sleep so that he can, he, you know, he can be his 100% self. But as you said, if Johnny Russell starts to get closer to being 100% healthy and is ready to go, maybe for 90 minutes or at least for 60, 70, 80 minutes, I think that does change the way this team attacks. That changes the way this team goes forward, because then you can shift Eric Tommy back into the midfield, and it really makes for an interesting lineup. This team, although they've struggled a little bit as of late with injuries, I feel like Peter Vermes has managed all of it well, and it feels like the places that players are playing in is natural. It doesn't feel like anyone's playing out of position. The only thing that maybe hasn't been managed well is, as Peter Vermes talked about, the way that the players and him, I think he takes some of the blame, I guess you could say, as well, is the way that the matches have been managed. And that's more decision-making. That's more, you know, in-game stuff that they haven't quite done as well. But again, as we talked about throughout the entirety of the end of last match and the beginning of the first segment, this is the perfect opportunity for Sporting Kansas City to just wash all of that away and forget about it and try and go grab 3 points. And if they do that, people aren't going to be thinking so much about that 3 points dropped against Miami or, you know, the 2 points that you dropped against Portland. I think people are going to be focusing more on that win and looking forward to a chance to win in their next matchup on the road.
Yeah, because, you know, I think Eric Tommy's, in my opinion, been fantastic on the offensive side and the defensive side. So, you know, does Peter go to maybe a 4-1-4-1, or does he stay with the 4-2-3-1? And Eric Tommy's just playing a little underlying there and defends and helps attack going forward. So it's something that I'm interested in seeing, you know, this weekend against St. Louis. But like you said, you'll get 3 points against your rival, get back on a streak. I mean, I've mentioned this many times. Major League Soccer is all about hitting the hot streak. And you do have some games after St. Louis that I think are extremely winnable. So I feel like I say that every week, because I do feel like this is a very solid Sporting Kansas City team, and I think they can beat anyone in this league. I do think that it's obviously a league where anyone can win on any given day, but they've had such great success so far this season playing on the road that I just feel like get 3 points this weekend, get a little bit more confidence back under your belt, even though, yeah, sure, maybe you've had some results where you've lost a little bit of confidence, but Peter said it in his press conference. He thinks the team has been playing very well all season. I mean, other than a couple dropped points, overall, this the style of play and the production has been there.
And I think the biggest thing that the fans want to see is, obviously, Peter Vermes has been saying the team has been playing well, and I would agree, the team has been playing very well. It just hasn't been able to go out and get results. And fans want to see the direct correlation, and fans aren't always the most patient. You know,
sure.
You see the team playing well and they're not picking up results. This would be that perfect opportunity to say, look, we're still playing well. We haven't gone anywhere. And we pick up 3 points at home, try to bring Children's Mercy Park back to being a little bit of a fortress. And as you said, then you've got some games ahead that you're going on the road and you can start to try and continue that good run of form. And obviously that then brings those fans back to say, okay, you were right. The team is playing well. But ultimately, I think there is one person in this world that knows his team more than anyone, and that is Peter Vermes. And I think we can all trust him in this sense. Obviously, he's not going to just be like, yes, the team is playing horribly. But I think in this sense, he's absolutely right in saying that the team is playing well and that there's no reason to be even close to hitting the panic button. And I guess maybe, John, that's kind of my next point that I was going to talk about, is at what point does this team maybe start to worry a little bit? Maybe not the team. At what point is it fair for us as, you know, people around the team and people that are watching this team to start to worry a little bit? Because as of right now, I think there's glaring issues that with the way that this team has closed out matches, or I guess the way that they have not been able to close out matches. But I wouldn't say it's gotten to the point yet where it is going to be a consistent problem. It's the point where, yeah, it's close, but I guess at what point does these people need to maybe start worrying a little bit? Because I haven't hit the panic button yet.
So, you know, I think you're right. This is a results-based job, right? There's a leaderboard. There's standings at the end of the day. The only other job in the world that has that is like a sales role, right? So I think that fans are right to want to look at the scoreboard and say Saturday is the most important thing and getting 3 points is all that matters. And it's, you know, it's true at the end of the day, but I think to go to your question about the panic button, I don't know, August, because if they're making mistakes, you know, now or dropping points now, it's still early and they're going to learn from it. I think if you're making these mistakes or if you're dropping points in August, now it's like, okay, it's a different story, right? You're extremely frustrated. It's like, hey guys, come on, you know, towards the end of the season, we're approaching the playoffs, but I'm not worried about it one bit at all at this moment. And I also think, you know, I don't know Sporting Kansas City's plans, but you've done very well. Your players are playing great. You have a summer transfer window. So you've got all these things. You've got a lot of games coming up to give different players experiences. I just think nowhere near the panic button. And for what, to be honest with you? I mean, still in a good position. And I mean, you're in the playoffs line. Like, panic buttons maybe August.
John Kempen, the voice of reason. I love it. I love hearing that perspective.
I'm just putting myself, like, if, you know, I'm just pretending I'm still playing and putting myself in those shoes, you know, I'm like, they should feel good with some of these performances. I mean, yeah, the results are frustrating. It is what it is, but it's not like they're playing bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. I'm just kind of trying to bring the fan perspective in and filter it through what it needs to be filtered through, which is John Kempen, a person who has been in that situation, a person who knows what's going through the heads of Peter Vermees and the coaching staff, because absolutely, you're right. There's no reason to hit the panic button yet. Of course, there are things that need to be fixed, and everyone around that team is absolutely aware of that, but it's April. You know, as Daniel Shalloway said, you're allowed to make mistakes in April. Yeah, we need to fix them, but you're allowed to make mistakes in April.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're naive by that, you know, by that fact. I think Fontia has said this, you know, Valterra said this in some of their press conferences, that they still haven't put a clean 90 minutes in yet, you know, so it's like, They're where they are now, and they've been playing well, and they haven't even put a full 90-minute shift in yet. I'm not worried, because as soon as they start clicking and putting that 90-minute shift in, you know, they're going to be a hard team to beat.
Yeah, if this team hasn't peaked yet, I think they're in a pretty good spot, because if they're peaking a lot closer to the season, this is going to be a dangerous team, a team like last year that people don't want to play when it comes, you know, September, October, playoff time. You know, that's what this team's looking at. This team's trying to be the team that is really hard to beat late in the year. But John, the big matchup against St. Louis City SC, it's going to be, I think, a big one for the St. Louis fans, because Sporting Kansas City throttled them in the playoffs last year. I mean, this team just took advantage of that St. Louis team, both on the road, and then they came back home and did the same thing. I think this means a little bit more to those St. Louis fans now, and this rivalry is starting to fester a little bit. I'm excited to see what the atmosphere is like, but I certainly know that the atmosphere in these matchups is just different.
Yeah, I mean, but they played five matches against each other, and Sporting got the best of them 3-2 in terms of wins, but tons of goals scored. Obviously, Sporting Kansas City knocked them out of the playoffs last year, score four at their place. So I agree with you. I think that the fans for St. Louis are going to want some revenge. I think that Sporting Kansas City has a lot of experience on their roster right now, and especially playing against St. Louis, playing them five times. I think that either way, it's going to be a good match. Again, it's another match at Sporting Kansas City. That's why I love sports, and that's why I love soccer mainly, is you have this match against Miami. You play well, you know, maybe you don't get the result you want. There's another one coming. There's one this week, right? You know, they got back to training. They're ready to go. They're ready to prove again what they're made of on Saturday. So, you know, I think it's going to be a fun one. And I think they already said it's sold out, or it's at standing room only. So definitely going to be another packed house.
Yeah. So if you haven't gotten your tickets, go ahead and do that now. As John just said, standing room only tickets available now, because it's going to be a packed house. It's going to be an incredible atmosphere out at Children's Mercy Park, as it always is. But it's another level when they're playing against St. Louis. So go ahead and get those, sportingkc.com/tickets. It's going to be a fantastic Saturday out at Children's Mercy Park. But that's all we've got here for this week's edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show. You can catch myself and John on that broadcast on Sports Radio 810 WHB or on Apple TV. If you go ahead and switch to the home radio broadcast for St. Louis's matchup, a 7:30 start, 7:30 kickoff. But thank you so much for listening to the Sporting KC Show this week. Stay tuned next week as we have more on the Sporting KC Show.